Welcome to the Empty Nest Kitchen, where we're finding fun in the kitchen now that the kids have flown the coop. I'm Christine Van Bloom, a cooking teacher with over 25 years of experience, here to show you tips, tricks, and joy in your kitchen, all while trying something new. Let's get cooking. Well, today I am again thrilled because I have the pasta queen with me. I have Lori Boucher, and you would find Lori at Baltimore Home Cook on Instagram. And Lori, good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And oh, what my
a gosh. Lovely title. I love it.
I know Lori did not give herself that title. I gave her that title because if you are interested in pasta, and I mean it, if you are interested in pasta, Lori's your girl, man. She is the one. And I discovered Lori initially because I saw this Instagram coming across that just seemed so cool and so pasta driven, and mama loves a carb. So I had reached out to Lori, this was back when I owned the kitchen studio, and said, hey, would you ever be interested in teaching a pasta class? And because Lori is nothing if not adventurous, she was like, heck yeah, I'll totally do it. And I came to her house and she was so sweet. And it just kind of went from there.
That was really a fun day. I still have that memory. It was just a blast cooking with you that day. And you are actually one of the very first people that took a chance on me to allow me to come into your business to teach. So behind the scenes, I was trying to, oh gosh, I'm going to have to get all this together because I'm locked in now.
Yeah,
but we did it. We did it.
Isn't that how it goes so many times? I remember reading like a Martha Stewart book, oh my gosh, probably 30 years ago. And she was like, say yes to everything. I was like, what? And now I'm kind of judicious, but I do try to say yes. And it's stuff like that that makes you branch out into new things, right?
Right. And it's saying yes to things that maybe create a little anxiety or something at that of your comfort zone that actually lead to the most growth. So I am just, yeah, I will say yes to something and then I worry about it on the back end. But I always yes. seem to pull it off. So, you know, it's a great confidence builder if you're not someone who's been in this particular field like me from the get-go.
Yeah. So this brings up one of the more fascinating things, because you've always loved pasta, but pasta hasn't always been your job. What was your job before Pasta Queen?
Oh, my goodness. So my profession, most of my life was as an attorney. From a very young age, I knew I wanted to be an attorney. I don't know how that was. I don't have any attorneys in my family, but during high school, I remember going to the courthouse after school and just watching trials. And I remember I contacted a lawyer and said, can I just come in and see what you do? So I had a pretty dedicated path from an early age. So I moved here in 92 to Baltimore. I had my first legal job and I practiced for almost 30 years.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I mean, these are not careers that really go together.
Not at all. Although I will say that even though it seems like such a dramatic jump, I have really leaned into a lot of my skills as an attorney to make my way through the culinary field. So
well,
it's
and
been helpful.
I have to say too, I mean, where a lot of food people lack is on the contracts and the communication, and you know, food people are into the food. And I remember when you sent me your first contract or something, and I was kind of like, man, she knows what's what. That's amazing. I was so jealous. It just seemed like you had it all together.
Well, it appeared that way, but I'll tell you, I learned some hard lessons in the very beginning. The number one thing was really to have a lot of your details in writing, whether it's through a formal contract or just an email, just really covering things so people know what to expect, what their expectations are of you. again, I had a couple of rough spots in the beginning, just learning the culinary culture and how very different it was from the legal culture.
Yeah, I have to say, I do think that sometimes people take advantage of culinary folks because it's not, you know, we're not contract driven. We're not all of those things. And a lot of folks get into food because they love to provide, right? Food is love. My therapist will probably say, no, it's not. But, you know, the act of making food for someone and providing for them and giving them wonderful service and giving them a wonderful experience, that's really at the core. Even your most gruff restaurant chef, I think, deep down has that in their heart, or else they wouldn't be doing it.
Right. And, you know, I won't go into detail, but one of my very first experiences, and I'm glad it was one of my very first experiences because it became the last, was when I was asked to do a team building pasta class. And it was very early on before I really started teaching professionally. And I remember, you know, suffering from the imposter syndrome and also being so grateful to have this opportunity. And I didn't want to scare people away with Lori, the lawyer. So I did a lot of things verbally and I ended up not getting paid. And it was a very good lesson. But again, good it happened on the front end. It has never happened again.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I get paid. I mean, that is, it's a thing. Well, that's something I really applaud about you. But I wanted to ask you a question because I remember in that whole vein of helping and giving and loving and sharing and all that, don't you do something with lasagnas?
So I'm involved in a few charities where I donate a product or my time. And the one you're referring to is We Are Lasagna Love. They do have an Instagram presence. And it's a really great charity for someone who has sort of a chaotic schedule, doesn't want to be on a rigid, you know, every Monday, you know, from a specific time period, et cetera. So you basically can find them in your city and you're making lasagnas for people. So you can dictate how often you get matched, how far you would like to drive. So I have a certain parameter of how far I will drive to do this. And it's a great charity. So, you know, you get to practice your pasta skills and you're providing a meal for people that otherwise wouldn't have a home cooked meal. And they're also grateful. And it's probably the easiest charity that I work with. And I love it.
Well, and I mean, what lucky ducks to get a lasagna from you. I mean, come on.
Thanks.
Okay, let's get in to the making of the pasta because I'm telling you, you know your pasta. First of all, your Instagram is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
It is so good. And again, you can find Lori at Baltimore Home Cook on Instagram. But you were recently doing a project with like an A to Z, or are you still doing that?
I am still doing it. So what I decided to do for this year was I'm very interested in more esoteric pasta shapes that are not as familiar to most people. So I wanted to challenge myself to sort of try to find those things and share them in my community. So it's pasta A to Z. And, you know, some of the things are probably recognizable to people who make pasta a lot, but I've had plenty of people that had no idea of certain shapes. So it's kind of nice to introduce them to things that are a little more traditional or regional in Italy that you wouldn't find in the States or in a box. So that's been pretty fun. I think I'm up to C. I keep thinking I'm going to get to D, but I just today found another C shape that I'll probably make today.
Do you make pasta every day? Do you make it every day?
Not every day. I make pasta probably 4 to 5 times a week, I would say. And part of that more recently since the beginning of the year is I'm helping with pasta production at a small cafe, Cafe Camp Lee. So I worked with them sort of informally for a bit beforehand, more so because I wanted to see what the culture was like at the restaurant, whether
That's
the
important.
Schedule would fit for me because I've got a lot of other things going on. And it's just been a perfect match. They offered me a position in the beginning of the year, and it's awesome. I mean, there's not many places where you can actually get you know, hand-formed, fresh-made pasta, believe it or not.
Yeah. You know, in my hometown here in Frederick, there are a couple of places that I go where they make it from scratch. They're doing the thing. It's such a difference. I love it so much.
I love fresh pasta too. Now, that's not to say that I don't, on occasion, like a packaged pasta. There's a lot of good brands out there.
Of course.
And sometimes I just want to, you know, pull something out of my cabinet and make it. I don't want to bother and I don't want to fuss. So there's room for all the pasta.
So you, when I came to your house, you had, I don't think you had the one with the die, the where you make the dough and you push it through. Do you have one that does?
Oh, an extruder. Yes.
Yes. Excuse me. My words are failing
today.
Not enough coffee yet.
Yeah. No. So yeah, I sort of have an embarrassing number of pasta machines, but it's because I teach with them. So I have an electric machine from Imperia, which is awesome. It's sort of a hybrid between a home, small commercial model. I also have an extruder from Arco Bolano Pasta Products, and it is one of my favorite kitchen toys because there's so many different dyes you can use. It's relatively easy to use. It uses simple ingredients. And then, of course, I have my tabletop clamp to the table manual pasta machine by Marcato. And I've had mine probably for 30 years. And I use those when I teach because I try to teach with things that are not too expensive, that are readily available. And buying a tabletop machine for maybe $50 is completely different than buying something that's electric or, you know, an extruder.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I taught pasta before I found you. I can knock out a decent pasta, and it was always so much fun to do with the group. And we would use the attachment, the pasta roller for the KitchenAid mixers.
Okay.
And I love
which is
that.
Great.
It's great. It's great for if you are a home cook and you are just feeling a vibe and you're doing pasta occasionally. And it's fun because pasta related, I would use the pasta roller with bread. With like Pepperidge Farm bread. Have you ever done this?
I've used it to make some southern pastries where you needed a very thinly sheeted piece of dough. So
okay,
I've used it in the pastry world.
This is hilarious because I think we did this back in culinary school. That Pepperidge Farm white bread is
okay.
A really nice, it's a more dense white bread. And we would use it for different canapes and things that we were making. But if you cut the crusts off and you run it through a pasta roller, I mean, for heaven's sake, you can also do it. I know.
You are blowing my mind right now.
I know. It's so cool. You could do it with a rolling pin too. It's so much more fun because you just do the whole loaf and you just shum, shum, shum them through the pasta rollers. And they come out really thin and flat. And then you can fill them and roll them. And then we would bake them off, or sometimes we would fry them. And
oh my gosh,
I know. Culinary school is the best. It's so much fun because you play around. You're just, you know, you don't know what you're doing. Oh, and that just, look at me with a natural segue, Lori. So you also, and this is, I just think you're so cool. You are going, you're finishing culinary school, but you've already gone through one
of the programs.
Degree sort of thing. Lori just can't get enough education.
I love school. I've always been a student. So when I started, it was sort of a weird thing. Back in 2016, it was sort of in my mind that at some point in the next 4 to 5 years from that date, my kids would both be, they're a year apart, they would be graduating high school and moving on. So even back then, I was sort of thinking, I don't know if I want to be practicing law for another 10 years because been there, done that. I was getting a little bit burned out. And I had always wanted to go to culinary school, but I wasn't quite sure could I fit it into my schedule with everything else going on. So I ended up taking one course, loved it. The school we had locally in Baltimore shut down, but fortunately, someone steered me to Anne Arundel County. So I attend CAT, which is Hotel, Tourism, and Culinary Institute, which is part of Anne Arundel Community College. And I originally registered as a culinary arts student because I don't have a sweet tooth. I don't really eat a lot of that stuff. And I thought, you know, savory all the way. midway through that program, I had to take a mandatory foundational pastry class, and I was dreading it. And lo and behold, there was something about the formulas, the precision, the chemistry, something clicked, and I just fell in love with it. So I decided I'm going to finish the culinary arts, which I did in 2020. I immediately went right into baking and pastry, and I'm currently now, spring of 2024, taking my very last class at chocolates, and then I will be finished and have both degrees. It's been such a great journey, but as my path to work has ramped up, trying to get to school for a lab class and doing all the necessary homework, all of it, it's a lot, but I love it. It is a great program. I have learned so much, and I feel like now, even with the baking and pastry, I've got a couple of things up my sleeve that, if necessary, I can pull out. It's been great.
So incredible. And I love, this comes back to kind of that foresight. And one of my previous guests, Heather Tidings, who is a therapist and a life coach and all that, has said that her clients that have had the most success have planned ahead kind of for when the kids are leaving. Because, I mean, you're like me. You love your kids madly, right?
Absolutely.
But we want them to grow. We want them to grow. We don't want our kids to be 47 and living in the basement, right? We want them
I don't
to
want
go...
them 25 and living in the basement.
Agreed. But we want them to go and have their own wonderful lives, and we want to be part of it. But it is that planning for your empty nest so you're not left, you know, kind of shocked and stunned and waiting. And I mean, boy, you just barreled into making sure you were busy, didn't you?
It seems like it was a barreling, but it wasn't a real set clear path. I just knew that I was very interested in food. I had always been a passionate home cook, but my kids are so close in age that I knew that it would be almost overnight and they would both be gone. And with COVID, that's actually what happened, because my son, who was set to go to college, pretty much spent his first year here, which was great in some ways, but also very sad and disappointing for him. But then when the next year rolled around, both of them went off. So I had to have sort of a plan in my head. And yeah, I mean, I have plenty of friends who I think are right now in the middle of, I'm not sure what I want to do. And the thought of going to school or getting training, I don't know. I guess I'm lucky that I have endless inspiration and interests and curiosities, and it led me down so many different paths that, I mean, I'm never bored. Like you will never hear those words out of my mouth, never. So I'm just lucky that I found something, and going to culinary school wasn't actually what got me into the pasta, but it did help me with some of the tools to, you know, figure out, could I do something like that? And how would it look like? So I had a lot of resources at school that were, you know, behind me and so helpful with their advice and things like that. So it sort of organically, you know, steered me down a pasta path.
I love it. And I would say, I always recommend to everybody to go take a class in something.
Absolutely.
I agree. Like you, lifelong learner, right? Like there's so many things. Heck, podcasting. I'm learning.
Right.
Thanks for being a guinea pig. I appreciate it. But I will go take a class in just about anything. I just joined a sewing club that I can learn how to make my own clothes. So,
and I think that's awesome. When I moved here, I was taking a pottery class, a watercolor class. I actually learned to sew because my daughter at the age of 13 wanted to learn. So I remember getting sewing for kids on Amazon. I had to teach myself to help her, and she ended up just sort of going off and having her own business at the age of 15. So sew a nice little bag. I can sew a tote bag. I'm nothing like what she can do. But yeah, knitting, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. I've got a whole room that's got like evidence of all my little interests all over that I pick up when I feel like it or not. So
I have, my basement is a graveyard of craft supplies, right? Because I'm convinced, you know what I want to do? I want to get the little letters and I'm going to emboss spoons for cheese. No, I'm not. You know, oh, I'm going to make all this clay jewelry. No, I'm not. All of these things, you know, it's just there. It's stuck everywhere, like under the couch and all of that.
Right.
Before we got started today, though, you were showing me something that you've been making that I'm like, I want one now out of the bakeable clay.
Oh, so, well, I do. I have an Etsy shop. It's called Pasta Art. And the way that came about, and I don't want to bore you. It's a little bit of a long story, but I'll keep it somewhat short. So when I started my Instagram and was really getting into the different accounts that showed pasta, I started noticing that there were certain people in Italy that were using these beautiful solid brass rollers that gave a very decorative edge to both pasta and pastry. And so most often, if you're going to do something a little decorative in pastry, you would get a fluted cutter. So I had never seen anything like this. And I spent probably 6 months reaching out to almost every account where they were featuring these things, asking them for a source. And no one would share it with me. And that drove me crazy.
That makes me crazy.
It does make me crazy. You know, if it was something that was proprietary, I understand. But it's a little pet peeve of mine when I see something beautiful on, for instance, Instagram, and someone doesn't want to share. And I'm not saying that that's not their right to keep it to themselves. I'm just saying that it annoys me. So I spent a summer in Italy when I was in law school, and I reached out to a friend of mine whose parents are from Sardinia. And I said, you know, how do I find out? And he couldn't really help me. So I basically just with Google Translate, just did a deep dive, found an artisan in Sardinia that said he could supply these tools for me. And meanwhile, I don't speak a word of Italian. He spoke no English. And the day I wired my initial payment to Italy, I thought my husband was going to fall off the chair, you know? And he's like, for someone who is an attorney who needs things in writing, like, are you kidding me? And I said, you know what? I think it's going to be okay. So that was probably 5 or 6 years ago. I put them on my Etsy shop. I made them reasonably priced. And I think I have sold maybe over 600 to date to all over the world. I've sold them in Japan, Saudi Arabia, Dubai. I mean, everywhere. And so I keep reordering it because people love them. So
yeah.
So I was very happy that I was able to share something that I figured it out. So I was very happy about that. So I started my Etsy shop with that. And then how I came about making pasta themed keychains and ornaments and jewelry, it was just something that I was sort of playing around with because I sort of wanted a product that, you know, I could put on my keychain, and
yeah,
I couldn't really find anything that was in the material that I wanted. I wanted something that really replicated pasta, that had a little bit of bend to it. Wasn't something that was ceramic that would break if it would fall. So I, again, deep dive, figured it out. And so now I sell keychains and pasta jewelry, necklaces, earrings, and just all this crazy stuff. And I, again, one of those things my family, I think, thought I was crazy, but people like the stuff. If they're a nerd like me, a pasta nerd, they buy the ravioli earrings and they wear them.
So yeah, I want a keychain. I'm ordering a keychain. And that's, so your Etsy shop is called Pasta Art?
It's Pasta Art, and it's also linked in my Instagram, Baltimore Home Cook. So if you go to the link tree on my Instagram, it takes you to everything that I do in the pasta world, from classes to the jewelry to the cutters to all of it.
And where are you offering classes now?
So I started teaching privately back in 2018. You were one of the shops where I started. and so I was really working for businesses. And what I branched out to doing was securing locations that didn't really have any hands-on pasta classes. So I work larger groups at different breweries and wineries with a partner, Chef Frank Granito. He is someone non-traditional like me in his second career. We crossed each other's paths in culinary school. And I still remember the first time I met him, he was participating in a team challenge. And I was there assisting someone with a pasta dish. And everyone was like, don't you guys know each other? I mean, you're kind of like the same age. And I thought, what? I had never seen him before in my life, but he's Italian-American like me. We get along so great. We've been doing this for about 3 years. So we offer classes in Baltimore at Moptown Brewing. We actually are starting off at Union Craft, which is off 83. So we have our first class there on April 28th. I do other teaching. It's not really group classes. I also do some pasta instruction with Groundwork Kitchen, et cetera. So but those group classes, I also do them for team building. So people can either buy out a class that's already scheduled or they call me. So I've done them for T. Rowe Price. I've done them for MedStar, the Bryn Mawr School where my daughter attended. So, if you want to learn how to make pasta, however that looks, a small group gathering at home privately or a team building, I'm your pasta gal.
Yeah. And are you doing the Southern hand-formed pasta?
So typically in the larger groups where we have 15 to 16 people, I do stick to the Southern hand-formed pasta shapes. Number one, because it's very easy to learn. You don't need a pasta machine. You don't need any eggs. You don't need any fancy tools.
Simple dough.
It's a very simple dough to make, and people love it. I used to teach it as a parent and me class at the Baltimore Chef Shop, and people love it. It's very easy. So I will do the Northern style pasta, but for smaller groups, because that's a lot more hand-on learning. It's typically a longer class because of the type of dough you're making, the equipment and things like that. So,
okay, what's the difference? I know the Southern is basically flour and water, and you're using special flour. What's the Northern?
So the biggest difference, to simplify it, when people ask me that question, pasta is really nothing other than, as you know, flour and some type of liquid. But those two things can be so different. The flour alone is just a whole different conversation. There's so many different types of flour you can make to use pasta. You can combine them. So usually in Northern Italy, they're using a soft wheat flour, which is a lower protein than what they use in the South, which is a durum flour, semolina type flour. So in the North, you typically would have eggs to enrich that pasta dough with the protein. The reason that you can use all-purpose flour to make an egg dough is because it mimics the softness of the flour that you will find in Northern Italy. So the 00 reference is really not a fancy type of Italian flour. 00 just refers to how finely something's milled. So I think a lot of people get very confused and they think they need some expensive 00 and they don't really even know what that means. It's not a fancy, expensive flour. It can be, but you don't need it just to make pasta. If you're making pasta once a month, you don't need to invest in all kinds of crazy flour.
But if you're making pasta 4 or 5 times a week, like you
so
are.
So I will buy different flours. I like to buy locally. So Mybrash Farms is a mill in Baltimore County. I've purchased a lot of their different flours. I also will purchase grains. I mean, I am a pasta nerd. I will mill my own grains here. I have a little Nutri-Mill where I will create flour.
Goodness.
In fact, I'm doing that today for a flour. I need to have some corn flour for this recipe. So you basically just throw in a handful of popcorn that you would get in a bag and mill it down to use in your pasta dough. So all kinds of flour. Again, whole different discussion, but it's fun and it's
so
fascinating.
Cool. That is so cool. Oh my gosh. All right. So now I have noticed, because you make pasta with, you go crazy with different liquids and different add-ins. And I know you've been making, is it a pasta with Calabrian chilies that I've been seeing lately?
So I just posted that on my Instagram. So really the liquid component of pasta, again, flour and some type of liquid, I've experimented with so many things. So you can use eggs. You can keep it completely vegan and use a vegetable puree. So if you wanted to naturally color something green, you could either mix something like a parsley or a basil or a kale with egg, or you could just use a puree on its own and use that as the liquid component. I've used heavy cream. I've used aquafaba, which, as you know, is a fancy word for chickpea liquid out of the can.
Yep.
Many times I will add in the Calabrian chili paste as a condiment, and I also like to use harissa for just a little kick. And you basically just blend it with the eggs and then use it in the same proportion to make your pasta dough. So what you get is a beautiful pasta textile, a very natural color. I don't use anything artificial when I'm making pasta. And, you know, the taste doesn't really come through. It's not like you're going to have a mouthful of fiery pasta unless, of course, you add more Calabrian chili paste on top, which I will do because I love spice. But it's more just to give you the visual appeal. So is it traditional? No. But I do feel that I have a very big appreciation for the traditions of pasta making. But I also feel like there's a whole world of creative aspects. And, you know, some people are very firmly in one camp or the other, and they vocalize that on Instagram. And
that's another
little pet peeve of mine, because I feel like it's just food. Come on. It's supposed to be fun. Food. Why can't it be creative? And, you know, you don't have to follow me. I shouldn't say that, but you're going to get both worlds on my page.
Well, that's it. And I think some people do, they are sticklers for, well, it has to be this tradition. And Lori, you have spent so much time doing pasta. Holy bananas. I mean, you have really put your time into it. And if you're someone like I grew up with, well, we grew up in an era where the food was very different from today. And I always wanted, like, I just wanted to be a little Italian or have a little something. I am the least interesting person genetically, I tell you.
And not true.
It's like, you can't, no, I really am. I'm fascinating, but genetically, it is white bread and potatoes. Okay. That is who I am. So when you get into something and you really spend a lot of time educating yourself and spending time doing it, I'm always very clear to say, this is not an authentic whatever it is, because that's just, I could never do it, right? I could never give you an authentic anything other than potatoes and squished Pepperidge Farm bread. Which
that's on my list, actually. It's on my grocery list. It's very cool.
You can make great little desserts out of it. You can do like a sweetened cream cheese and then roll it in cinnamon sugar. My friend Carrie, my best friend, she used to show me how to do that. And you're basically making like kind of a little egg rolly pastry thing. And now with air fryers, oh my gosh, you can totally do that.
But my son got me an air fryer, and I need to take one of your classes on how to use it, because that thing is sitting in my laundry room. I have no idea how to use it successfully.
Well, I think when the air fryers came out, it was a total gimmick, right? It's because what is it? It's essentially a convection oven. It's a little tiny convection oven. But what I will say is my air fryer, instead of having the basket, has two wire shelves in it that come out. And I love it, especially during the summer, because I don't turn my oven on. It heats up in about 9 seconds, and it's very easy to use. I mean, last week I can't even believe I air fried half a pound of green beans and ate them.
Oh my gosh, I saw that. And that would have been my ideal lunch.
I'm telling you. And it was, Lori, it was salt, pepper, and a little olive oil. And that was it. And I just tossed it together and spread it out. It's really important when you're using an air fryer. And this is why I like the two shelves instead of the single basket. I spread them out so they weren't touching. It's really important whenever you're roasting anything, whenever you're air frying anything, it's not touching. And then the air can circulate all around it. And they got the brown spots and they shriveled bit. And that is not, I don't even know who I am anymore, because that is not like my kind of lunch. Oh my gosh. I ate every single darn bean. They were fantastic.
Oh, I'm a veggie girl. I don't eat a lot of fruit, but I would eat veggies morning, noon, and night.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Well, I'm trying. I'm trying to be a veggie.
You're
girl,
doing so it.
I'm trying. All right. So let me ask you one last question. It's a regular weeknight. What's for dinner?
Am I by myself or am I with my family?
I'm going to say you're by yourself, or maybe it's just you and your husband.
If it is just me, I am eating pasta. I am eating pasta. It's my comfort dish. I love it. I always have some in the freezer. I just, you know, a basic bowl of you know, semolina water pasta and some tomato sauce with a little pesto on top, and I am a happy girl. That's what I eat.
See, you live it. You live the pasta to your core. I love it.
So, yeah, it's, you know, when my family's here, you know, I think a lot of people, when they see how much pasta I make, I do give a fair amount of it away. I've got friends and neighbors who like pasta, and I couldn't possibly eat everything that I make. But I think with it just being my husband and I right now, it's probably once, maybe twice a week is my limit that I'm allowed to serve pasta. But I'll sneak it into soup. I'll make a lot of semolina pasta. I'll sneak it in my soup, put it in a mac and cheese. You know, so there's ways that I get it in. But honestly, this is something a lot of people don't know about me. I actually have a little bit of a gluten sensitivity. It's not an allergy. So I do have to watch how much of it I eat and how frequently. So there you go. It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right. So I am going to put all of Lori's information in the show notes. I always feel so fancy every time I say that.
It is fancy. I love that you're doing this. And I love that your direction is to focus on empty nesters, because I feel like it's a time of life for women, especially if you are devoting yourself to your family, which most of us moms do, and we happily do it, but it can be a very eye-opening experience when they're gone. And so it's nice to see and talk to people and read about the people that you've been interacting with. You know, how do they do it? Why do they do it? You know, where do I start? Because it can be very intimidating for someone who's been, you know, either out in the workforce with a family or at home, you know, working with the family, and then what? What's my next job? What's my next career? What's my path, and how do I get there? I think it's a real thing. It's a challenge for so many women.
Well, it is. And, you know, you also enter this stage of invisibility, right? And I've seen younger women say, oh, I won't be invisible. And it's like, oh, honey, it doesn't have anything to do with you. I mean, you can be the peacock and it won't matter. Your people look at women of a certain age differently, and they see through us instead of seeing us, right? And they no longer see our value quite as much as they did when we were younger. And I just think I know so many fascinating, really interesting, accomplished, cool women. And I wanted to devote some energy to the empty nesters because it is a big transition time. And I think that, you know, this is the time where people can start to give up. And I refuse to do that. I want
absolutely
a big life. I want to eat all the pasta. I want to have all the fun. And I mean, I'm tired, so I want to be in bed by 9. But
maybe 8.
All right, I've done eight, but, you know, it's such a great time. And I think if you embrace it, you have more time. Time's the operative word, right? So, Lori, now you have all this time to make the pasta. You have all this time to experiment with the pasta. And when you're running kids hither and yon, and, you know, I worked really hard to go to my kids' events and support them and do all of that. So now you have this giant gift of not being, I mean, everything hurts all the time, but not being further down that road and still being active and being excited to do stuff. And I just think it's a neat time. I just love it.
And, you know, I'm lucky because I have a very supportive husband and kids and family.
Yeah.
And I know that not everyone has that, and everyone's situation is different. So having a group, you know, what you're trying to cultivate of women that are sort of on the same path and, you know, somehow connecting people and sharing stories is so important, because not everyone has that kind of support. So I think it's great what you're doing.
Thank you. How
you have pivoted, and you know, I know you share a lot on your Instagram, but some of the challenges you have overcome would have probably, I don't know what would have happened to someone else. So I love your energy. I love what you're doing.
You.
I can't wait to see how it develops. If you ever do anything in real life and get like an empty nester club, wine club, or maybe we'll do a big pasta dinner for everyone. I think that would be so much fun. I know I can't even imagine how far you're going to take it, but I'm
oh
in.
Oh my gosh.
Whatever you're doing.
Oh
I'm
my gosh.
In.
I love it. Well, I just, you know, we all go through challenges, so whatever. But I'm on the other side of it, so it's a little easier to, you know, take that deep breath and, you know, okay, I'm going to tell you my dirty little secret. Every time I drive by the building where my business was for 15 years, I may make an inappropriate gesture toward the building. I'm so petty. Not to the person who's in the space now. I talked to her. I said, I don't do it to you. But
well, it's
I
probably
still...
representative of everything in that time and COVID and the challenges. But you know what?
Yeah.
Without that door closing, you wouldn't get to experience this whole new thing you're doing. And I think it's exciting, change and evolving. And, you know, you probably would have been just as successful staying there and happy and doing it. But you're just have an opportunity to do something different and you're taking that gift and doing it. And I just think that's great. So,
well, I'm a lucky girl.
Yeah,
lucky girl.
You are.
I know it. I know it. So, all right, Lori, you and I could just talk to each other forever. I think.
I know.
So I will say thank you so much for coming on. You are just sunshine on a cloudy day. And I love your story. I just, making that big career switch is such a big thing. And I love how you have embraced pasta life. So thank you so much for joining me.
And thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, Lori.